Reconciliation. It's a word we hear a lot in our world. We hear of attempts at reconciliation between warring countries, attempts at reconciliation or mediation between separated wives and husbands, reconciliation in relationship between parents and rebellious children, between Aborigines and white Australians, between white and black South Africans, between fighting relatives or business partners over money and property. Reconciliation is all about restoring the broken relationship between two opposing groups. It's the end of estrangement, the bringing together again of those who should be relating. It's about bringing peace into the picture. Not a pretense and a denial of any problems, or at the other end, extreme reactions that enforce one party's will over the other, but peacemaking. I think it's wonderful that humans attempt to reconcile, to make peace in all of these above situations. Reconciliation in each of these areas is a good aim and good attempts have been made. But it seems that reconciliation is not something that comes naturally to us humans. It's not something we can really achieve on our own. I think the most important and vital reconciliation that ever happens is that peace that is made between humans and God. From this relationship restored and renewed flows the possibility of any other reconciliation. For Christians, reconciliation is an aspect of us being saved by God through Christ Jesus, and it's what we especially think about on Good Friday. Well, at church we've been studying the book of Exodus, and we've seen God acted to save his people from slavery, and he rescued them to bring them to the land where they can live as his people again, worshipping him freely. We heard last Sunday about the Passover and the lamb that was killed as a substitute for their firstborn. As the people of Israel headed towards the promised land, God gave instructions about how unholy sinners approach a holy God. The blood of the sacrifice, representing the life of the sinner given up to God, was placed on an altar, like this picture. This act of atonement showed that God and the sinner had been reconciled and the sin was dealt with. Then the meat of the sacrifice could be eaten in a meal with others, showing that reconciliation with God led to reconciliation with one another. But all of this pointed to a reality, of course, that was far, far greater. Well, I read from Colossians 1, which is all about who Jesus is and what he did for us in reconciling us to God through his death on the cross. In verse 15, Jesus, God's Son, is introduced as the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He's the creator and sustainer of the entire world. Have a look at verses 19 to 20, the bottom of the first paragraph. He is supreme over everything and everyone because God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So not only is Jesus the supreme Christ, he's also the sufficient Christ. He's all we need and he's done all we need. He's the sufficient reconciler. Only Christ can bring reconciliation between humans and God. Only he can bring total reconciliation in heaven and on earth. And we don't see that now, and we won't see it till Christ returns and puts everything right. But meanwhile, he alone brings that possibility of real peace. Jesus' death achieves the ultimate reconciliation. His death is not merely one more sacrifice, but the fulfillment and reality of all the past sacrifices. When Jesus dies, the curtain of the temple is torn in two from top to bottom. That's a sign of his reconciliation. God opens the way between himself and humans through Jesus' death. There is no barrier between us and him. The completeness of what Christ has done is showcased in the Colossians themselves. And Paul points it out to them what they were in verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour, but now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Well, we're the same as them. We too were enemies, rebels against God, cut off from him. Now, through Christ's sacrifice at the cross, we can be on God's side, 100% his. So he has made us holy, and our response must be to continue in faith, to cling to the hope that is held out in the gospel, God's good news. This reality is illustrated in a song we sing, Jesus, Thank You. I think we'll be singing it a bit later. It goes like this in the chorus. Your blood has washed away my sin, Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath's completely satisfied, Jesus, thank you. And in this line, once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you. That is the only response that can be. I think that last line is such a vivid image of reconciliation. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Once God's enemies because of our apathy and our rebellion against our Creator and his holiness, now warmly welcome guests sharing a meal with God himself. As the Message paraphrases verse 21 and 22, but now by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in his presence. We're brought into an eternal living relationship with God, free from everything that previously cut us off from him. And it's all through Jesus. As one writer commented about reconciliation, God is the author, Jesus is the agent, and we are the ambassadors as we share this great good news of reconciliation with others. On the night of 14th of November 1940, the city of Coventry in England was blitzed by the German Luftwaffe, destroying the cathedral. As the cathedral burned, two of the charred roof beams fell in the shape of a cross. Lashed together, they were placed in the ruins on an altar built from the rubble. And you can see the words behind, Father forgive, were later added. This image is a great reminder that reconciliation is needed between peoples, families and nations in all our relationships. But true peacemaking, real reconciliation is only possible through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God was pleased to have all his fullness in Jesus and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Let's pray. Lord God, we long for peace in your world. We long for peace between individuals and between nations and warring groups. We long to see reconciliation and we turn to you for the answer. You are the only one who can enable reconciliation, and you have done it through your Son, giving his life on the cross for us. Thank you for the reconciler, the Lord Jesus. Thank you that we who are enemies because of all that we do that is not of you can be holy and honoured table guests because of Christ's death for us. Lord, help us to value what you've done for us and to share the wonderful message of reconciliation with others. We long for the day when you will put all things right. Help us in the meantime to do all that we can in your power to share reconciliation through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.